welcome to the IWA podcast. I'm Jess Blair and I'm joined today by Siobhan McCarland, health economist, and Darren Hill, MD of Positive. We're recording this just as the Assembly is adjourned following the failure to decide on a First Minister for Wales. Darren, what do you make of this?
I think it was a very unexpected move, a very bold move and a very unpredictable move, all of which seem to be the characteristics of this, the Fifth Assembly.
Siobhan?
I was genuinely really surprised to see this happen. I guess we were all sort of expecting Carwyn Jones to be elected and to see both the Conservatives and UKIP all fall into line to nominate Leanne was a real surprise. And then obviously Kirsty Williams' role in that in being, I think, highly principled in her approach to not go with Leanne and to... And therefore to tie it. But the question is, where do we go from here now? And there seemed to be quite some confusion, I think.
So this has all been about Plaid and the opposition parties showing Labour their power, giving them a vote of a bloody nose. Do you think it will work?
I certainly think it had an impact on every Labour member sitting in that room. I certainly think it had an impact on every member in that room from the opposition benches, not least those who perhaps may have felt quite uncomfortable with uttering the name Leanne Wood in those circumstances.
How do you think it reflects on Plaid that they've had to have the backing of UKIP and the Tories in nominating Leanne Wood as First Minister?
I have to say, I think that's going to be a difficult one to sell to some of their members, given that Leanne was very clear that she wasn't going to do a deal with the Conservatives and that the UKIP were beyond the pale. Now, obviously, this nomination doesn't necessarily lead to a coalition government in itself, but you know, how do you reconcile those two aspects? I think it is really interesting that Kirsty Williams is yet again the rainbow slayer as she was in the past. But I think what you've really got to think is, how is this playing out to ordinary people? What are people thinking today that our Assembly has failed to elect a First Minister, now fails to move forward in putting together a government, and meanwhile we've got health and education services and the whole range of public services where we really need to move forward?
I think there's a degree of legitimacy to the action on the part of Plaid. From memory, and I may be wrong, David Wigley stood back in 1999 against Alan Michael as well, but the difference was everybody else didn't row in behind David Wigley at that particular time. It's all about challenging Labour's arrogance and right to govern and all the rest of it. And maybe if we were having another session of plenary today, where a few votes could move, maybe, that point would have been made. It would have been to give Carwyn a black eye and to move on. But it looks like they're not going to be reconvening today. So we do not have a proper government. And if it takes another week, that's another week lost, where the government should be dealing with the steel crisis, and another week lost, particularly where most of the so-called progressive voices in this Assembly should be focused on the European referendum campaign. And the longer this drags on, the more difficult it'll become for Plaid. Very, very good hit in the short term. In the longer term, I'm not convinced.
And it's a bit of a continuation of cheap date gate as well, isn't it? It is about wanting to make that point about Labour, you know, you have only got 29 seats, you're not here to tell us what to do. But I think you've got to really think, was this the best way to do it? I mean, everybody was sitting there so they didn't know what to do afterwards. It was some kind of Mexican standoff. And someone's got to work out, where do we go from here, and who's going to blink first, almost, is how it feels. There are going to be lots of opportunities for the Conservatives, for UKIP, for Plaid, to properly challenge Labour going forward. And undoubtedly, it does need really good, strong challenge in particularly how we take public services forward. I'm just not sure that this, which feels a little bit like posturing to me, was quite the best way to do that.
Well, yesterday, Neil Hamilton was liked by only three other people in the Assembly. And today, he's been legitimised, hasn't he? He's been brought into the mainstream. Both yep. In terms of being a nominee for one or nominator for one of the PO/DPO candidates, and then for being able to align with Plaid and the Conservatives in this vote.
Yes, and it is also about profiling Leanne Wood there very strongly. And of course, she had a great victory in the Rhondda. She's had a huge amount of coverage. And there is something about clearly positioning her publicly. And this is going to be reported much more widely than Wales, isn't it? As a potential First Minister, which is how she has been portraying herself. And that will be quite a strong position. However, I don't see any way she can form an actual government. And that's the key point. If she really had a chance at forming a government, but I cannot believe there will be a coalition government of Plaid, the Conservatives and UKIP. I find that very difficult to comprehend.
Well, that's kind of the key point, isn't it? Do you think that there's any remote possibility of a government being formed from this, Darren?
No, absolutely none. It just stalls another government to be formed, a Labour government, maybe even a Labour government with a slash, a little bit of Lib Dem thrown in on the edges now.
Well, that's an interesting point. Do you think that Kirsty's decision to back Carwyn Jones on this will get her any favours on the Labour backbench?
I think Kirsty's popular on the Labour backbench. I think Kirsty's popular on every backbench apart from her own. She hasn't got a backbench. And probably maybe not UKIP's as well. But there's a warmth to Kirsty that was discernible amongst the Labour hierarchy during the campaign. And I think it's been helped today. Whether that lead to some more formal agreement between them, I don't know, but it certainly hasn't damaged the opportunity or the possibility of some agreement between them.
I mean, I think, you know, Kirsty is seen as a highly principled person, and that's continued here. I think the difficulty for Kirsty in being given a job is she is, as we, you know, as Darren said, she is the only Liberal in there. Where's the Liberal voice, independent voice, going to be, which has got to be the beginning of trying to build the Liberal Democrats back up again if she takes a government job? And I think she may be effective not with a government job, with some of the things she's done in the past, the bill around nurses and wanting to extend that into mental health and community services and so on. There is potential for, or maybe in some other, you know, if anybody came to a view about a health commission, for example, she might be the person to chair it. But I'm not sure about a formal deal, whether that would be good for the Liberal Democrats. And to be fair to her, at the end of the day, that's, you know, that's where our priorities lie, not personally.
So is this a sign then for Labour that with their 29 Assembly members, they're really going to need to do a deal with not just Kirsty, but another person to really swing them over the edge when it comes to those important budget legislation deals?
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right, but we'll only need one budget deal a year. I guess the chances of a supplementary budget this side of the normal budget cycle are now pretty slim. And also the Labour manifesto is pretty damn thin when it comes to legislation. Most of the things they're talking about do not require legislation. I think they strategically, they've positioned themselves already for, if not quite this eventuality, something that's not a million miles away, which is not having an automatic majority on the floor.
It will be interesting to see how some really big schemes fare under this M4 relief road being an obvious one and how that might play out. I think Darren's right. It's I think they always anticipated it was going to be difficult to put radical legislative policy through, yeah, or even radical policy, and that's going to be a real challenge because, again, we have some very challenging issues across public services in particular.
And local government reform, which needs to happen quickly if it's going to happen before next May's election. I can't see that having any sense of urgency after today. There's too much to unpick.
Yeah, it'd be very difficult to take that forward. But without that, that has a huge impact on how other, you know, health and social care working together. Without local government reform, how does that actually really happen?
So difficult times for Labour ahead, but you still think it's likely that they'll be the party in government by the end of this?
I just cannot see a green, purple, blue coalition. But some, you know, some surprising things have happened, but I really can't believe it.
Yeah, well, I think you're absolutely right. There is no way that they can form a government together. There's no way they can form a government with Conservatives, let alone UKIP. And either of the two factions in UKIP come to that. But at least those two are working together. That's a bit of progress, isn't it? Who'd have said this time yesterday they'd even be voted in the same direction?
Obviously their whip is working.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, really. It was really amusing almost to see that the literal divide between the three seats and the four seats either side of the corridor for the UKIP Senate seating arrangements. Do you think that that's a sign of things to come?
Yeah, well, they're not a happy group, are they? Clearly, it's all a little bit random, a little bit difficult at the moment, and certain people are not controlling their temper or their words. And I'm looking at Twitter as we speak, and that certainly stands for Labour Assembly members and Labour apparatus.
Yeah, so I think obviously for UKIP they're hanging on till the referendum. I'd be interested to see what Nathan Gill does after that has happened. But there are, you know, whether they split into two or actually ultimately split into seven, who can say? They seem a very unwieldy group, but today they all voted as one.
And the Tories, I'm relatively surprised personally that they would back Leanne Wood as First Minister. Is anyone else surprised?
Well, it's back to this issue about wanting to send a message to Labour, isn't it, really? And I think that's quite a powerful thing. And as I say, it's a bit of a continuation from what happened at the end of the last Assembly. So I'm not sure that's an intention to be in coalition, but it is an intention to say to Labour, look, you cannot take us for granted here.
And even if and when this impasse is stepped back from, this will feature on Labour leaflets for a long time to come. This will feature in Labour speeches for a long time to come. And let's not forget who won the narrative on steel during that election campaign. It was Labour. And on one level, they've been given a significant narrative boost by activities today and the importance of forming a government to deal with the crisis in the steel industry.
So do you think Leanne might come to regret this decision?
I think that it's a difficult one for her. There are pluses and minuses. At least she stood out. At least she's looked like a credible alternative as a First Minister by getting that cross-party support. But I bet she's wishing that they reconvened quickly so that there could be some sort of resolution.
I think the fact they didn't really seem to know what to do was a bit concerning. And we've kind of forgotten in all of this. We've obviously got a new presiding officer, and poor Ellen Jones, you know, very, very new into the role and possibly slightly unexpected herself going into it, has now had to deal with, a real, really tough constitutional sort of issue that's got to be sorted out. And she said, we're going to adjourn for a bit. We're not quite sure how long that time's going to last, but it'll be interesting to see whether this does backfire on Plaid, perhaps a bit further down the line than the next month or the next couple of months.
Great. Well, thank you very much both. I'm sure interesting times are ahead, so join us again soon for the next IWA podcast.